As with last week, 2 Chronicles 32, our text is the verse 22. This verse 22 sets out for us the amazing answer to prayer that Hezekiah experienced. Thus the Lord spared Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Let me just quickly remind you and refresh your minds of what we considered and covered last Lord's Day morning. By way of introduction, we considered how Hezekiah had a partner in prayer. That partner, of course, was Isaiah. And sometimes we are called upon to pray and to pray alone. But it is good when we can rest upon the prayers of others and to know that we have a partner or partners in prayer, those who are praying with us and praying for us. And then we noted the purpose in prayer. For Hezekiah sent word to Isaiah for this cause. So there was a cause. For this cause, Hezekiah and Isaiah prayed. They had a cause. It was the cause of the God of heaven. God's name was being dishonored and blasphemed by Sennacherib. That was the cause. So we have a cause today. And we need to pray that God himself, because this is what Hezekiah prayed, that God would take up his cause, that God would honor and defend his name. And that's how we need to pray, believer. In this day in which we live, in which God's name is being blasphemed, we need to pray about that cause. And we need to pray that God himself will take up the cause and defend his name. It was their purpose. And then their passion in prayer. Because we are told in that verse 20, and for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried. There is their passion. They cried to the God of heaven in prayer. The same word is used to describe the crying of David when he learned of the death of his son Absalom. 2 Samuel 19 verse 4, the king covered his face and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, Absalom! O my son. That was the cry that came from the lips of Hezekiah and Isaiah. And that's the kind of praying that God answers. That's the kind of praying that gets answers. And then we notice they persisted in prayer. For when we read that they prayed and cried to heaven, the word here used for prayed is the word that means to pray habitually. It was a habit. They had got into the habit of praying. That habit to get into. They'd get into the habit of praying and they couldn't do anything else but pray. The same word It was used by Samuel. You recall when the elders of Israel rejected Samuel as their judge, and they chose Saul. And then they saw their mistake, and they came back to Samuel and said, "Samuel, we have sinned. Pray for us." What did Samuel say? He said, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." In other words, Samuel hadn't stopped praying because it was his habit. He was in the habit of praying. That's the kind of praying that gets answers. So that was her introduction. And the Lord answered prayer. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah. And the point that we dealt with last Sabbath morning was, in this answer to prayer, we see the greatness of our God. Remembering Sennacherib's battles, and his boastings and his blasphemies, there seemed to be no power on earth that could defeat this man or could drive back his armies. But there was power in heaven, which Sennacherib had not considered. And it was to this power that Hezekiah was looking. And we notice in this answer to prayer that God came and answered prayer suddenly. Because it was in the middle of the night, if you turn to 2 Kings 19. 2 Kings 19, verse 35. Now here's the very night that Hezekiah and Isaiah were praying. The Lord gave them the word. He said, verse 34, "For I will defend the city and save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians. That night. And so the doom of Sennacherib and his armies came suddenly. God sometimes answers prayer suddenly. Sometimes he waits because he knows what's best for us. I remember receiving a letter from a dear brother that corresponds with us often. Got a letter from him there just before Christmas, and in the letter he quoted one of my favorite preachers and writers, Andrew Bonner. He quoted Andrew Bonner and he said, "Sometimes the Lord," quoting Bonner, "sometimes the Lord delays the answer to our prayers because he wants to keep us in his presence." Sometimes the Lord does that. He delays the answer because he wants to keep us in his presence. Sometimes he answers suddenly, and on this occasion, Sennacherib needed to be stopped, and God answered suddenly. They also answered simply. All the other nations had gone up against Sennacherib and couldn't stop him, but God stopped them simply. What did he do? He sent out one angel. One angel, the angel of the Lord. And that night, that angel slew 185,000 Assyrians. Just one angel. An amazing answer to prayer. So he not only dealt with Sennacherib suddenly and simply, but he dealt with him silently. We read there in 2 Kings 19 that it was in that night. And whenever the men of Judah rose up the next morning, so their sleep wasn't even disturbed. They rose up in the morning and they saw that all the Assyrians were dead corpses. And it had happened in the middle. And the people of Judah got a good night's sleep. Their sleep wasn't even disturbed. And we made the point that perhaps 185,000 Assyrians died in their sleep. That was the sword that the angel of the Lord used. A fatal disease. And 185,000 men died in one night. And not a sound was heard. That's an amazing answer to prayer. They also dealt with them severely. Slew 185,000. And then, of course, we read that Sennacherib returned to Nineveh. And then we're told in 2 Kings 19 that Sennacherib, verse 36, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that his own sons rose up against him and slew him in the house of his own god. What could Sennacherib's god do for him against the living God of heaven? Absolutely nothing. And there the Lord wiped out the Assyrians and slew Sennacherib. Suddenly, simply, and silently. What an amazing answer to prayer. Now that brings us this morning to consider not only the greatness of God in this answer, but we want to notice the grace of God in this answer. Hezekiah's amazing answer to prayer. Look again at the text, verse 22, 2 Chronicles 32. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. In those words, we behold the grace of God. As is so often the case when God answers our prayers, He usually gives us more than what we ask for. That's the nature of God. That's the nature of our God. That's why we love to go to the throne of grace and seek His face, because we never know what the Lord's going to do in answer to prayer. Because the Lord always gives us more than what we ask for. The Lord Jesus has told us that. In Luke 6 verse 38, that He gives good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. And Hezekiah had asked for deliverance from and the defeat of Sennacherib. Thus the Lord did according to His greatness. And He did much more according to His grace. Let us remember then, first of all, regarding the grace of God, let us remember the promise of the Lord to Hezekiah. Early on in this conflict with Sennacherib, the Lord made a promise to Hezekiah. Turn, please, to 2 Kings 19. 2 Kings 19 and verse 6. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, that is, Isaiah said, you tell your master Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. My good believer, when we're surrounded on every side by trouble, when the devil is coming against us from every direction, it's good to receive a thus saith the Lord. It's always good to receive a word from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed thee. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So there you see, the Lord made this promise to Hezekiah. As we pointed out before, although Hezekiah received a promise from the Lord, he still went on praying. When God gives us a promise, let's not leave it there. Let's pray over that promise and take that promise to the Lord. That's what Hezekiah did. Notice regarding this promise, it was a comforting word. This word came to Hezekiah not merely from Isaiah the prophet, but as we've already said, it came from the Lord himself. That's always a comfort. And many times when trouble has come upon you, and you've got up in the morning and you've gone into your closet and you've opened the Word, or you've opened Spurgeon's checkbook to the Bank of Faith, or you've opened his morning and evening readings, and there you've received the Word. It's almost as if Mr. Spurgeon knew all about your circumstances, and he wrote that word especially for you. And the verse came to you as thus saith the Lord. Comfort. It's good when you get a word like that in the midst of trouble. That's what Hezekiah got. But let us look closer at what the Lord said. Look again at that verse 6. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. In comforting his servant Hezekiah, the Lord reminded Hezekiah that this was not a war against him, Hezekiah. This was a war against his God. Hezekiah, they have not blasphemed you. They've not really gone up against you. They have blasphemed me. The war has been declared against me. I am the target of their wrath. I am the person they are blaspheming. You know, this is again, as we've said, this is just like the Lord. Because this reminds me of what the Lord said to Samuel. When the elders of Israel rejected Samuel, Samuel was heartbroken. He was a hurt man. Samuel went to the Lord. For we read in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 8, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Listen to this. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And you know, I believe Samuel would have found great comfort in that. Because what was the Lord doing? The Lord for Samuel was taking his burden. Because Samuel felt they had rejected him, and that hurt him. And he was burdened about it. It says he was displeased. He was burdened and he was hurt at being rejected. And when he talked to the Lord talked to him and said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. In other words, the Lord took Samuel's burden and the Lord made it his own. Took the burden away from Samuel. And the Lord has done the same thing with Hezekiah.
Because here in his answer, he says to Hezekiah, the servants of the king of Assyria, they have spoken to you. And he said, don't be afraid of their words. Because those words were not spoken against you. Those words were spoken against me. In other words, the Lord simply took Hezekiah's burden. And the Lord made that burden his own. That's the Savior we have. That's our Redeemer. How often have we gone to prayer, unburdened our hearts, and the Lord has taken that burden and he has made that burden his. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Because he has declared war against me, the Lord was saying, then I will face him. You don't need to face him, Hezekiah. I'll face him. And I'll fight with him. And I'll defeat him for you. That's the grace of God. God in his grace takes our burdens. And he takes up our fights. And he goes into battle for us. And he faces our enemies. And glory to his name, he defeats them for us. That's the point or the truth that Peter was seeking to get across in his epistle. For in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, how often have we quoted these words? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Mark the words. Cast all your care on him, because he's the one who does the caring. See, he takes your cares. He makes them his. Which means then we don't have to carry the burden, or we don't have to carry the care. That's who he is. The God we worship. It's the Savior we adore. It was a comforting word. Notice his confident witness. When a man receives a thus saith the Lord, receives a word from God, then he can be confident about the outcome of the matter he's praying about. He can be confident. Because the Lord keeps his word. Hezekiah took God at his word when God said through Isaiah, don't concern yourself with the words of this king. He's not against you, he's against me. I'll take care of Sennacherib. Well, Hezekiah took the Lord at his word, and let's go again to 2 Chronicles 32. And verse 7, here's Hezekiah, and he's addressing his people. And Hezekiah says to his people, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. These are the words of a man who has confidence in God. Because he told his people, don't concern yourself. Be strong. Be of good courage. Because with Sennacherib is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. As I said, these are the words of a man whose confidence was in God. You look at those words of Hezekiah, and we notice that he was able to see the true picture. He was able to see exactly what was taking place. Sometimes in our troubles we get so close to them and so involved in them and so taken up with them and so engrossed in our troubles that we cannot see the true overall picture. I'll show you what I mean. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings 6. Here we read about Syria has come up against Israel. And there you have the servant of the Lord, Elisha, and his servant. And we read in verse 13. Verse 13, 2 Kings 6, and he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encamped and compassed the city. The servant of Elijah went out, and what did he see? He could only see the armies of the Syrians. He couldn't see anything else. But he didn't have a true picture. He saw the armies of the Assyrians that had compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" How often have we said that? In the midst of our troubles, we can only see the trouble. And we have said to ourselves, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" All we can see is the horses and the chariots of the Syrians all around us. And our troubles seem to be multiplied. That's what we see, but we don't see the true picture. "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Elisha then answered, and he answered, "Fear not. For they that be with us," same terminology as Hezekiah used, "for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. That was the true picture. The horses and the chariots were the horses and the chariots of the Lord. The young man didn't see the true picture. All he could see was the Syrians. But when the Lord opened his eyes, he got a true picture. The Syrians may have been there, but the Lord's army was there. The Lord's host was there. And so it was with Hezekiah. Hezekiah had a true picture, because he was able to tell his people, "There be more with us." I want you to notice something. Hezekiah said, "There be more with us." He didn't say to his people, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged because there are more of us." He didn't say that. He didn't say there are more of us. No, he said there will be more with us, which is a very different thing. Notice the "with us" in that verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 32. "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us. That is what made Hezekiah so confident. The armies, the soldiers of the Syrians, of the Assyrians outnumbered Hezekiah's forces. That's why he didn't say, there's more of us. But whenever Hezekiah knew that his God was on his side, then Hezekiah knew he was already in the majority. It was the Lord that made the difference. He said, the Lord is with us. Therefore, Sennacherib has no might, no power against us. Why? Because God is with us. Isn't that what John Wesley said to his brother Charles when they were being persecuted for the cause of Christ as they went up and down the countryside preaching the gospel and their lives were being threatened? John said to Charles, brother Charles, best of all, the Lord is with us. And that's what made the difference for Hezekiah. The Lord was with him. And Hezekiah could see it. He could see the true picture. And then he states his trust. The king made it clear to his people where he had placed his trust. For he says, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Now, if the Lord was with Hezekiah and his people, if the Lord was going to help them, if the Lord was going to fight their battles, then they had nothing to fear. And dear child of God, because our God has never known defeat. He's been involved in many a battle. He's been engaged in many a war. And he hasn't lost one. So why should we fear? Best of all, the Lord is with us. And that's one thing we must be sure of. Whatever battle we're engaged in, let us make sure the Lord is with us in the battle. Don't go into battle without the Lord. And whatever you do, don't depend on the arm of flesh. With him is the arm of flesh, Hezekiah said. What does the Bible say about those who depend on the arm of flesh? Jeremiah 17 verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. He's cursed. He's doomed. He has no chance of winning if his trust is in the arm of flesh. But verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Quite a difference. Cursed is the man who trusteth in the arm of flesh. I tell you, as we said last week, when Sennacherib rose up against the God of heaven and blasphemed the God of heaven, Sennacherib was already a defeated man. God would defeat him, and of that there would be no doubt. So we have then the promise of the Lord. And then you have the prevention by the Lord. As we look at the words of our text again in verse 22, thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. I want you to keep in mind those words. and go back to 2 Kings 19. 2 Kings 19, verse 19. Here's the prayer of Hezekiah. Verse 19, 2 Kings 19. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us, mark the words, out of the hand of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Save thou us out of his hand. What does that teach us? That teaches us that when Hezekiah prayed, he fully believed that he would be engaged in arm-to-arm combat with Sennacherib and his forces. That the battle would actually take place. And so therefore his prayer was, Lord, save us out of the hand of Sennacherib. Save us out of his hand. That is what Sennacherib believed also. Look at chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles and verse 11. At the end of the verse, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria. This is Sennacherib mocking Hezekiah, or mocking his people. Do you think the Lord our God, your God's going to deliver you out of my hand? Look again at verse 14, at the end of the verse, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand. Look at the end of verse 15. How much less shall your God be deliver you out of mine hand? Look at the end of verse 17. So shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of mine hand. See the same phraseology over and over again. In other words, Sennacherib believed this battle was going to take place and nobody will be able to deliver Hezekiah out of his hand. Hezekiah believed the battle would take place and therefore he was praying, Lord, deliver us out of the hand of Sennacherib. Now look at the answer in verse 22. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of the hand? No. From the hand. In other words, the answer to prayer was so great that the battle didn't even take place. He delivered Hezekiah even from the hand of Sennacherib. It never got that far. Because the angel of the Lord was sent forth and he slew 185,000 Assyrians in one night. What did the Lord say? The Lord said that not one arrow would fall upon the city. Not one sword would be used. Not one shield would be seen. An amazing answer. It wasn't a matter of saving Hezekiah out of the hand of Sennacherib. But glory to his name, he saved him from the hand of Sennacherib. Now you may say there's not much difference there. Oh, but there is. Turn to Luke 11 and we'll see the difference and the significance of this. Luke chapter 11. And the Lord is teaching his disciples about prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, verse 2, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from, not out of, deliver us from evil. You see, it's far better to be delivered from evil than to be delivered out of evil. Because if you're delivered out of evil, it means you're already in it. But if you're delivered from evil, it means that you're kept from it. That's how we ought to pray. Lord, deliver us from evil. Yes, sometimes we yield to temptation and we fall into evil and we have to pray, Lord, deliver me out of this evil. Far better to pray, Lord, deliver me from evil. As the Lord had done for Hezekiah, he delivered him from the hand of Sennacherib. Sennacherib never laid a finger on him. What an amazing answer to prayer. There's the greatness of God. And there's the grace of God. Notice further in that verse 22. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other. In other words, believer, when the devil attacks us, his attacks don't always come from the one direction. He doesn't just use one particular incident or set of circumstances to attack us, but his attacks can come at us from every direction. And the Lord is able to deliver us from every attack of the devil, no matter what direction it comes from. You have the protection of the Lord as well. Look at the words of our text again and see how it ends in verse 22, and he guided them on every side. Remember we said at the beginning how the Lord gives us more than what we ask for. Hezekiah asked for deliverance. He got it. But then the Lord gave him more. Because it says in that he was delivered from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Verse 23, and see, the Lord keeps the answer. What did we say at the beginning? He gives good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He adds to those answers. There's the grace of God. He and Isaiah asked for deliverance and the Lord gave it. And then he added this. He guided them on every side. That word, guide, is a word that is used of a shepherd. The word means to lead. It means to guide gently or softly. It means to lead or guide with care as a shepherd guides his flock. Don't we have, believer, a great God? A great God. You think of all that Hezekiah and his people have been through. There they are, surrounded by the Assyrians, and having to read these letters that came from Sennacherib. And just the trauma of it all. And now the shepherd comes. The shepherd, as it were, has slain the wolf. He has taken care of the pack of wolves. Now the shepherd goes in amongst his sheep and he guides them. The word guide is the same word that we have in Psalm 23 verse 2 regarding the shepherd who leadeth me beside still waters. It's the same word translated leadeth. And here's the Lord, the shepherd of Israel. And after all the trauma And all that they had to face was Sennacherib. The shepherd has taken care of Sennacherib and the Assyrians. And now he leads Hezekiah and his people beside still waters. Leads them into peace and rest. You've experienced that. And trouble has come upon you. And it has gone on for weeks. And you've wakened up night after night with that sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach. And you think about it all day. And when the problem is solved and the burden is lifted, you say, oh, I just need to get away and get a rest. This has been a hard time. Well, glory to his name, the Lord does that for us. He leads us beside the still waters. He leads us away from that place of war and rumors of war. Remember what Hezekiah called that day? He called it a day of trouble. Now the trouble's over. And the shepherd leads his sheep. And he guides them on every side. Every side. Like the shepherd again. Watches the sheep on every side. It's not what the Lord does. The angel of the Lord. There he is again. The angel who slew all the Assyrians. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. He's all around us. With nothing to fear. We're safe in his arms. Round about and underneath are the everlasting arms. I must finish quickly the last point. You have their gratitude to God. For it says in verse 23, and many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem and presents to Hezekiah king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. There's their gratitude. They brought gifts. First of all, they remembered the Lord. The Lord had just answered their prayers and delivered them from Sennacherib. They didn't go away and forget about what God did. The 9 lepers did. The Lord said, Where are the 9? The Lord took note of the fact that 9 lepers did not come back to thank him for what he had done. He took note of that. And believer, he takes note when we do not return to give him thanks for prayer that has been answered. Let's not forget the Lord. Because that's really what those lepers did. They forgot the Lord. The people of Hezekiah's day brought gifts. They remembered the Lord. And you have their response to the Lord. They brought gifts. What were these gifts? It's not immediately obvious. But we can find out. Because you see, the word here for gifts is the word that's rendered offering in the book of Leviticus. In fact, it is rendered offering more times than any other way. In fact, it is rendered meat offering. The word gifts is the word for meat offering. And what was the spiritual significance of the meat offering in Leviticus? Let me quote to you Andrew Bonner from his great commentary in the book of Leviticus. Andrew Bonner said this, that the meat offering, quote, represents the offerer's person and property, his body and his possessions. He goes on to say, the mercies of God constrain him to give up all that he has to the Lord. That's the teaching of the meat offering. They brought their gifts, they brought their meat offerings, symbolizing indicating, Lord, we give thee our all for what thou hast done for us. What did Paul say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Because of his mercy, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. Reasonable means rational. The sacrifice is to be intelligent, in contrast to those offered by ritual or compulsion. You're to work it out and say, well, the Lord has been merciful to me, this is the least I can do. The presentation is to be in accordance with the spiritual intelligence, being mindful of the mercies of God. That's what the people did. They brought their gifts to the Lord, their meat offerings, and really they brought themselves to the Lord and said, here we are. Thou hast done this great thing for us. We give ourselves to thee. They recognized their leader. They weren't unmindful of Hezekiah, for it says that they came to Hezekiah with presents to the king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. You notice they magnified the Lord first in Hezekiah. They brought their gifts to the Lord first, and then their presents to Hezekiah. They recognized Hezekiah's leadership. They recognized his prayer life. But better than that, the Lord recognized his prayer life. For the Lord says, they that honor me, I will honor. Hezekiah honored the Lord in the midst of that terrible time. He honored the Lord. And the Lord now honors him. Remember what we said about Hezekiah at the beginning of our study. The Lord said there was not a king in Judah like him. Here's the reason. He was a man who honored God. Believer, may the Lord give us the heart of Hezekiah. Give us the spirit of Hezekiah. May we honor the Lord in all things. And we'll see amazing answers to prayer. And we honor him. He'll be pleased to honor us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and gracious Father, we come again to thee. We rejoice in the greatness of our God. We rejoice in the grace of our God. And Lord, we come with gratitude to thee, our God, and thank thee for all thou hast done. We thank thee, Lord, for that first prayer of ours that was answered by thee, when we cried to thee, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, for that answer alone, we believe we ought to come with our meat offerings and present to thee our all. To offer to thee, Lord, our talents, our time. To bring, Lord, into thy storehouse our tithes. For, Lord, how can we ever worship and serve thee with anything but less than our all? Lord, we thank thee for all the amazing answers to prayer we have experienced. And we believe. We believe, Lord, with all of our hearts, there are many more amazing answers to come. Bless the Lord. Lord, be with us as we gather around the table now. Lead us to Calvary. Bring us to the cross. And Lord, may we for a moment or so simply sit down and watch him there.